Okay, so let's start with a pretty staggering number.
All right.
If I told you there was a problem out there costing industrial and facility operations something like $50 billion a year in lost productivity, what would you even do with that?
50 billion. I mean, that's an almost unbelievable number.
It's the real estimate for unplanned downtime. And here's the part that really gets me. Those emergency middle-of-the-night repairs, they cost up to three times more than maintenance you actually plan for.
And that disparity, that's the core of it, isn't it? The cost of chaos versus the cost of control. It's the economic challenge facility management has, been wrestling with for decades.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into the big shift that's finally solving this. We're moving away from that reactive firefighting to something data-driven and proactive.
We are. We're talking about integrating the Internet of Things, advanced sensors, and some really sophisticated predictive analytics to actually anticipate failure before it happens.
And our mission here is to look beyond just the cool tech itself. We want to really understand the profound economic shift this brings, and we're going to focus on these high-stress environments.
Yeah, especially places like the UAE and the wider GCC region, where the climate makes this technology less of a luxury and more of an absolute necessity.
So just how big is this opportunity we're talking about?
Well, think about the statistic we pulled. Industry surveys consistently show that 65% of all maintenance activities are still purely reactive.
65%. So they're just waiting for the bang.
Waiting for the bang, or they're on these rigid old school calendars that mean they're often fixing things that aren't even broken. And that just shows you how much money is being left on the table.
Okay, let's unpack that. Let's start with a real world example. We have this case study of a UAE facility management company that was, well, they were stuck deep in that reactive cycle.
High operational costs, constant unexpected failures.
And just chronic service delays that were really hurting their client relationships. So what happened when they finally made the switch?
They moved fast. They deployed IoT sensors on their most critical high-cost assets. So we're talking chillers, air handlers, all the big mechanical components.
So they weren't just collecting data for the sake of it.
No, not at all. They immediately started feeding it into predictive models. The goal was to flag those tiny, subtle signs of deterioration way ahead of time.
And what were the results? What was the measurable impact?
It was immediate and, frankly, transformative. By catching things like bearing wear or a motor imbalance before a total failure, they saw an over 20% reduction in their annual maintenance expenses.
Just by cutting out those emergency calls.
Just by eliminating those triple cost repairs. And they also minimized service interruptions, hitting a benchmark of 98% asset uptime.
That's a huge relief for the budget, but I'm guessing the real win is on the client side.
Exactly. You go from apologizing for things breaking to demonstrating that things don't break.
Your whole value proposition changes.
It completely shifts. You're not fixing problems anymore. You're preventing them from ever even affecting the end user. And that led directly to better client retention, better satisfaction ratings, all of it.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting because the broader numbers in our source material, they sound almost too good to be true. 95% of companies that adopt this report a positive ROI.
It sounds wild, but it holds up when you factor in every single dimension of savings. The average ROI across the industry is a staggering 10 to 1.
10 to 1.
And if you just focus on maintenance spending alone, companies are consistently reporting cost reductions somewhere between 25 and 40%.
That 10.1 return has to be more than just labor savings, though. I mean, what about things like inventory or just making the equipment last longer?
That's where the huge number comes from. You're absolutely right. Predictive maintenance lets you shift from, just-in-case inventory.
Having that expensive part sitting on a shelf for a year.
Exactly, to a just-in-time procurement model. But the even bigger deal is asset lifespan. If you catch problems early, you reduce stress on the whole system. That can extend the life of a $200,000 chiller by years.
Wow.
There's a great piece of research from JLL that summed it up perfectly. They said, for every $1 you spend on preventive maintenance, you get back $5.45.
At 545% baseline return, that's powerful.
It is.
But let's be realistic here. If 65% of maintenance is still reactive, the big hurdle must be that upfront capital expense, right?
Yeah.
How do companies get past that initial investment?
That's the critical question, yeah. And the answer is you start small. You focus on the most critical high-cost assets first.
Yeah.
The low-hanging
fruit. And did some quick wins.
Exactly. And the good news is the sensor technology itself has matured so much. We're talking about rugged IP66 rated devices with a 10-year battery life, and they cost a fraction of what they did just 5 years ago.
Which means you can deploy them quickly without a huge initial shock to the budget.
And without being invasive. That's key.
Right. So you're not ripping out walls and ceilings to run new cables. And when you're targeting those critical assets, especially in hot climates, what gets the most attention?
HVAC systems.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Makes sense.
It's the single biggest operational expense, and it's absolutely critical for comfort. Especially in the GCC, where cooling can account for up to 70% of a building's entire energy bill.
So what does that instrumentation look like? It's more than just a simple on-off sensor, I assume.
Oh, far more. We're talking about precision. You'll have temperature sensors at supply and return ducts, of course. But the really crucial part is high-fidelity vibration sensors.
Okay.
Devices like the Advantech Wyze 2410, for example, are monitoring compressor and motor health continuously.
Now, you mentioned a standard, ISO 10863. Why should a busy facility manager care about something that specific?
Because it takes all the guesswork out of it. That ISO standard sets the globally accepted benchmark for how much a machine should vibrate based on its size and power.
So it's a universal language?
It's a universal language of machine health. It tells the team exactly when the vibration has gone from healthy to needs attention now. It standardizes the whole diagnosis.
That standardization has to be key for large portfolios.
It's everything. And another brilliant diagnostic tool is the differential pressure sensor. By installing one of these, the system can reliably tell the difference between a simple clogged air filter and an actual fan motor failing.
Which are two very different problems with very different costs to fix.
Totally different. It prevents a ton of misdiagnosis and wasted service calls.
Okay, so beyond HVAC, what other unique challenges are you seeing solved? I'm thinking of things like elevators or, you know, catastrophic water leaks.
Absolutely. High-risk areas. And they each need a specialized approach. For elevators, you're using vibration, temperature, and load sensors. But what's really fascinating is the trend towards using the data that's already there.
What do you mean?
Many modern elevator controllers already track over 200 different metrics internally. So the smart platforms are designed to integrate with that data instead of just slapping more external sensors on everything.
Efficiency through smart integration. I like that.
And then for water systems, the goal is just super early detection. You have these really sensitive devices like the Monit Water Puck, which sends an alert if it detects just 1.6 millimeters of water.
Wow.
And for a monitoring flow to find hidden leaks, you have ultrasonic meters like the ones from Flume that just clamp onto the outside of a pipe. No cutting. No shutting the system down.
Okay, so we've got the types of sensors, but let's talk about scale. How dense does this coverage need to be?
It's very targeted. It's all based on risk and value. You don't need to cover every square inch. ASHRAE, for example, has specific guidelines. For a data center, they recommend 6 temperature sensors per rack.
Because the heat load is so concentrated there.
Exactly. Temperatures can swing wildly in a very small space. But for a standard office, you might only need one combined sensor for every 500 to 1,000 square feet. It's about strategic placement, not saturation. So now let's shift from just collecting the data to actually generating foresight. Mm-hmm. And this gets us into the intelligence pipeline, which is usually a 3-layer architecture. You have edge controllers, edge gateways, and then the cloud platform.
That hybrid approach, it seems like it's all about speed. But how does moving the computation to the edge closer to the machine actually save 85% on costs? That feels a bit counterintuitive.
It's all about data volume. The sensors are generating this continuous high-frequency raw data. If you try to send all of that to the cloud, your bandwidth cost would be enormous.
Okay, that makes sense.
By processing, say, 80 or 90% of it locally at the edge, so you're only sending up summaries or anomalies, you slash the amount of data that needs to travel. That's what cuts latency from maybe 200 milliseconds down to under 50, and it's what cuts those bandwidth costs by 85%.
Got it. So speaking of communication, one of the biggest headaches in retrofitting old buildings is just getting the signal out. You've got concrete, metal, all sorts of interference. What's the breakthrough there?
It's really LoRaWAN. That's become the go-to protocol for these kinds of retrofits.
Why LoRaWAN specifically?
Because of its incredible range. We're talking over 10 kilometers in some cases.
Mm.
And its ability to just punch through concrete and metal. It means you can often cover a huge area, maybe 10,000 square feet or more, with just a single gateway. It simplifies everything.
So once that sensor using LoRaWAN detects an anomaly, the whole point is to trigger an action, right? How do you close that loop without needing a human to sit there staring at a dashboard all day?
You close it through seamless integration with the back-end systems, specifically a CMMS, a computerized maintenance management system like IBM Maximo.
Okay.
When a sensor threshold is breached or the system predicts a failure, it automatically generates a work order in the CMMS. That single step reduces manual data entry by about 85% and makes the response so much faster and more accurate.
This brings up the big question, though. How does the system actually predict a failure? It's easy to say machine learning, but what is really happening under the hood that turns a little bit of vibration data into a 12-week warning?
It starts with a critical phase called baseline establishment. This usually takes 4 to 6 weeks. Think of it like a doctor learning a patient's normal, healthy vitals.
Right, establishing what normal looks like for that specific piece of equipment.
For that specific motor in that specific environment. Exactly. During that time, the sensors are just learning its unique operational signature. The normal vibration, the normal temperature, everything.
And once it knows what's normal,
once that baseline is locked in, we can apply these really advanced deep learning models. We're seeing architectures now, specifically CNN, LSTM hybrid models, that are delivering 96.1% accuracy. It's incredible.
Whoa, hold on. CNN, LSTM, that's some serious technical jargon. Can you break that down? Why do you need two different types of machine learning for this?
Absolutely. Think of it like having two different detectives on the case. The CNN, or convolutional neural network, is like the detective who's amazing at spotting tiny details in a photo. It can instantly see a subtle crack or a weird spike in the raw data signature.
Okay, so it finds the immediate clue.
Right. Then the LSTM, the long short-term memory network, is the other detective. This one has a perfect memory. It remembers every data point from the last 6 months, so it knows if that little crack is brand new or if it's part of a trend that's getting worse over time.
So you get pattern recognition and long-term context.
That's the magic combination. It allows the system to see what's coming long before any human could.
And what's the ultimate output of that, the analytical gold standard you mentioned earlier?
That would be remaining useful life estimation, or RUL. This is the crucial part. It doesn't just say this motor is failing. It says this motor will cross a critical failure threshold in approximately 8 weeks.
Gives you a specific timeline.
It compares the current degradation against a huge library of historical failure data to give you that timeline.
And that lead time is where all the ROI comes from. What kind of warning are we talking about consistently?
These advanced systems are consistently giving facility managers 6 to 12 weeks of advance warning.
6 to 12 weeks, that changes everything.
It completely transforms operations. Maintenance gets scheduled for a quiet weekend. Parts get ordered with standard shipping, not expensive rush delivery. You move from panic to a planned strategic execution.
That is powerful. So let's look beyond that first UAE case study. Where else is this proving itself globally?
It's universal, really. In commercial real estate, there's a study of a 29-story office building that saved nearly $50,000 a year just on HVAC predictive maintenance. Buildings like the Edge in Amsterdam have become global benchmarks for this.
And what about high-stakes environments, say healthcare, where downtime isn't just an inconvenience?
Right. GE Healthcare put a predictive system on its MRI machines and cut unplanned downtime by 40%. When you consider that an MRI service contract can be six figures a year, the savings are massive.
And the continuity of care is priceless.
Absolutely. Then in the industrial space, a major chemical manufacturer cut its unplanned downtime by 80%, saving them around $300,000 per asset every single year.
The business case is just. It's undeniable across the board. So let's bring this back to our initial focus. Why is the UAE and the GCC region becoming such a hotbed for this tech? It seems to be a convergence of factors that make it less of an option and more of a necessity.
There are three main forces at play. The first and most obvious is climate stress. When it's over 45 degrees Celsius outside every day, your equipment is under relentless thermal load.
Things just break down faster.
Much faster. Motor insulation degrades, lubricants break down. A component that might last 5 years in a temperate climate could fail in 3 years there.
So it's a resilience imperative.
Exactly. Second is just the sheer scale and ambition of the infrastructure. The facility management market in the GCC is projected to hit well over $100 billion by 2030. It's new. It's advanced. And third is government vision.
The smart city initiatives.
Right. You have Abu Dhabi and Dubai ranking in the top 12 of the Global Smart City Index.
Yeah.
You have projects like NAM, the $500 billion cognitive city, that are being designed from day one to use AI and IoT for anticipatory management.
And I imagine the green building mandates play a big role too, don't they?
A huge role. Regulatory drivers like Abu Dhabi's Estadama Pearl System or Dubai's Al Safat green building rules, they impose really strict energy performance standards. And you can't meet those standards without continuous sensor-based monitoring. It's essentially mandatory.
So this is already happening. Can you give us a few concrete examples from the region today?
Sure. The Mall of the Emirates has deployed these systems pretty extensively. They've reported a 35% reduction in equipment breakdowns and a 25% saving on energy costs. And another great example is the Museum of the Future in Dubai, an incredibly complex building that relies heavily on these kinds of sensor systems just to keep its internal environment stable and operational in those extreme conditions. So, to synthesize this for you, the core message here is that predictive maintenance is a fundamental transformation. It's mature technology. It takes facility operations from being a reactive cost center and turns it into a strategic, value-generating asset.
Right.
We've seen proof points. A 10-to-1 ROI, 25-to-40% cost reductions, and cutting unplanned downtime by 30-to-50%.
So what does this all mean for you listening? I mean, the takeaway is pretty clear. The technology is here. It's affordable. It's incredibly reliable. Remember that 96% accuracy. And it's becoming essential to stay competitive.
Yeah.
The luxury of just waiting for things to break is just too expensive to tolerate anymore.
And here's a final provocative thought to leave you with, and it's rooted in everything we've discussed. Given that extreme heat accelerates how fast equipment breaks down everywhere, not just in the Gulf, and that smart city and efficiency mandates are getting stricter globally, how soon before this kind of IoT predictive monitoring stops being a choice and becomes a non-negotiable insurance policy for every piece of critical infrastructure, not just in the GCC, but everywhere that's facing the strain of climate volatility? It's a fundamental question of resilience for the next century.